And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Friends, this is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is prophetic power in the Word of God. Hey, a lot of people have asked me, who gives that introduction? You know, here's Tex Mars, best-selling author and all that. He does have a very melodious voice, and every once in a while, some people mistake me for him. Well, that's Jerry Barrett. He works here in the ministry. He's our computer manager, and he does a great job, doesn't he? I've always sort of kidded him and said he should have been a radio DJ or television announcer or news person or something, but I'm glad to have him here in our computer section. He takes care of our web pages, and every once in a while I bring him in here and have him doing an ad or an announcement or something on the radio, but he has a wonderful voice. You know, we've been very blessed at Power Prophecy with our staff. Sandra Myers is over, I guess you could call it the keyboard. You know, all this electronic stuff. Sandra also does our newsletter. She's our art director. She has a number of jobs. But when you see our books, she designs book covers and all kinds of things. Puts together our newsletter. A lot of people have complimented our newsletter. They say it's the most fabulous newsletter they've ever seen. And I get hundreds of newsletters in here to the ministry off and on and from many other Christian ministries. And I'm just going to brag on the Power of Prophecy Ministries and Sandra Myers. I'm convinced too. It just looks spectacular. And you know, I think God deserves the best. Don't you? I don't think we'll just throw together some newsletter. Now, every once in a while, a person might say, oh, it doesn't matter as long as the information is there. Well, it does matter. I think it ought to be aesthetically pleasing to the eye. I think we ought to make God proud, don't you? And that's why Sandra does that. We have other great people here, too. Rosario, our shipping manager. There is Phyllis. She does probably the most handling of phone calls that come in. And I know many of you know Phyllis by name. When you have a problem with your order, call Phyllis. She'll take care of you. Michelle, she answers a lot of orders too, but she's our business administrator. She's like sort of the overall seer of things. She does great working with our, just all kinds of things. She gets our books printed and so forth. So we have a real great staff. Then of course there's Wanda. Wanda takes my wife. She takes care of the money. She doesn't even let me see it. I don't even know. Every once in a while, she'll give me a little account. She gives me, you know, an accounting report and everything. Ah, these ladies, I tell you, they run the world now, don't they? Looks like we're going to have a woman for president. But I'll tell you, I think she's going to be quite different than my wife, Wanda, don't you? That Hillary Rodham Clinton. But of course, she doesn't want to be called Rodham anymore. She's moving to the right. She's becoming conservative. Oh, yeah, we're getting ready for the election. And they've got rid of the word, her middle name, Rodham, which, of course, is her maiden name. Quite interesting. Hope I haven't forgot anybody. We have Nelson working in shipping department. But anyway, we have a wonderful staff here. They've been with us a long time and loyal, and I appreciate that. And people have many times complimented our staff on their politeness and their caring. You know, if you order something, it doesn't come on time or it gets messed up. And every once in a while that happens, very rarely. But you don't get what you ordered or something. You want to talk to somebody that can help you. And we really do care about you. Sometimes people will call and say, can you tell me a good book or resource about, let's say, Freemasonry or about the Illuminati or about the Council on Foreign Relations. We don't mind taking time with you and helping you to choose a certain resource. Somebody says, I'd like to know more about the papacy and Catholicism. We have probably 20 or 30 books and audio tapes and videos on that subject. but we're more than willing to work with you. You know, we're not like Time Life Books, you know, just give us an order and get off the phone. We don't treat you like that here. We've got people that do care. And I want you to know that. We have the politest and nicest people in the world who work here. And that we consider you, the listener, who get our newsletter, who gets our newsletter, I should say, if you're an individual. We treat everybody like an individual. We consider you part of our family. It's our family. Why would we treat somebody in our family roughly? We don't treat the world that way. Why would we treat you? Of course we don't. We're not going to. Hey, let me read you a few letters, and we're going to have a special volume of secrets today, and I'm just going to cover as many things as I can. But I wanted to read you some of these letters. We get so many into the ministry, both email and regular mail. And I think I get the most intelligent and fun and interesting mail that anybody could get. I mean, some people just send me short letters. They thank us for our radio program. They say they were inspired by a certain newsletter article or such. I love every one of those. Sometimes people send me mounds of material or articles or books and things. I appreciate all of your help in that regard. You know, I like to joke. We're like a big pond here, and we got a bunch of alligators out there crawling around, gathering information for us and biting here and biting there and finding out the truth and sending me your discoveries. I appreciate that so much. It's helped me. But we also get letters that, you know, they comment, and, well, they're just interesting. So there are different kinds. Here's a letter I got from my good friend Lawrence Patterson. He's the publisher of Criminal Politics magazine. Don't you like that title? It's the magazine of conspiratorial politics, exploring the world's secret power structures, and it's in its 29th year out of Cincinnati, Ohio. He writes, "Dear Tex, congratulations on your spectacular new book publication, The Synagogue of Satan. I'm not aware of anything similar showing the development of radical Judaism on a calendar year basis. What a resource for people to look up a particular person or year." Then he goes on to say, "We certainly want to get out as many copies as possible. I have decided to sell it at our cost, which you have so generously offered at your cost." Then he goes on to say, you're absolutely right. I could not imagine any established publishing house other than yours offering to print this book. That leaves it to people like you and me, Tex, to get the word out." Well, I think he's correct. You know, it takes courage to publish a book entitled The Synagogue of Satan. And then Lawrence says, "Give Wanda our best, and we too send our love. With kind regards, Lawrence Patterson." He's referring to his staff, of course, sending their love, as well as his precious wife, Barbara, who Wanda and I know, and, boy, she's a great gal. Okay, so let's see here what else we've got next. Here's from our good friend Yolanda from New York, New York. She says, "My dear Tex Mars, this last Power of Prophecy was really powerful." She's referring now to the newsletter. She says, "I went around here in this village." Village, boy. I don't know what she means, village in New York City. Greenwich Village, I don't know. Very interesting. She says, "And had people read it. They said, wow. I told them to call you and get a sample copy. Well, what can I say except thank you for the message. Can't wait till next month. Until then," she writes, "be good, stay pure, and God bless you and your wife, who looks like my sister, Margaret." Well, hey, Yolanda, send me a picture of Margaret, and I'll put them up side by side against my wife, and I'll let you know if she looks like Margaret. That's pretty interesting, though, isn't it? Now, this is from Virginia. She had written me a letter, and this is actually a letter from me responding to Virginia's email inquiry. I don't know what she was getting at here, but, you know, I get letters like this quite a bit. She said to me in so many words, "Tex, are you really following or obeying Romans 13? It tells us to strictly obey the government leaders appointed over us. We're not to despise government. We're to obey our leaders. Are you following the dictates of Romans 13? So I wrote her back, and here's what I wrote her. I want you to know this, because a lot of you get that. You know, if you oppose George Bush or Bill Clinton, if you oppose some of the things they do, for example, George Bush is spending more than any president ever in history. He's the biggest tax spender in history. He's got us into wars against countries that never did anything to us, calling it a so-called war on terror. And the truth is, look what he did at 9/11. It was an inside job. Come on, folks. You know it. I know it. But should we say such things? Are we disobeying God? Well, here's what I write back to Virginia. I say, dear friend, wonderful question. Should we willingly serve and obey those in government? You say, Virginia, that God put them in power and that we are to obey them. Let's see now. Let's look at some of the government leaders in history this very century. Pol Pot, Cambodia. Stalin. Hitler. Idi Amin. Then we go back into history to Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, and then here in our country, Bill Clinton. Over in Israel, Ariel Sharon, the butcher of Lebanon. Should we obey Bill Clinton? Maybe we should follow his example. I did not have sex with that woman. Maybe we should all go out and have women to have sex with in our offices and workplaces. Adulterous relationships. After all, isn't it wrong to criticize leaders of government? Doesn't Romans 13 tells us to obey government? Was William Calley right when he said, I was just obeying orders when I killed all those innocent villagers? At Nuremberg, was it a defense for them to say, well, I was just following orders of my legally God-appointed government and leader Adolf Hitler? How about the 66 million who died in the Soviet gulags? Weren't the gulag commandants and the guards, the prison guards there, simply following the orders of the man God had put in charge of their government? Vladimir Lenin, and then followed by Joseph Stalin. You see, Virginia, you're very mixed up about what God wants from us. Because Romans 13 is very clear, as you said, but it's also two-sided. You did not read all of Romans 13. You see, rulers have obligations to God themselves. Just as citizens have obligations, so do rulers. All higher powers known as rulers are ordained by God. And being God ordained, it is their duty to serve Him faithfully. They have a commission. Number one, to be a terror to those who commit evil works. Romans 13 verses 2 and 4. Rulers have an obligation to praise those who do good works. Romans 13 verses 3 and 4. And rulers have a duty and a commission to be the minister of God. Romans 13 verses 4 and 6. Regrettably, Virginia, there are many rulers who betray their commission. They do not act as ministers of God, but of Satan. They are guilty of malfeasance in office. They are corrupt. They defy God. They will be required to answer for their own evil works. For what a man sows, he shall also reap, and God shall be his judge. We must not, we cannot obey evil men who are in defiance of God's ordinances and his commission. Just as a military man is not to obey unlawful orders of superiors, no Christian is obligated to obey the dictates of evil rulers. To do so is to mock God, for those who oppose good or cooperate with evil shall be recompensed accordingly. Thus, the Stalins, the Hitlers, the Clintons, the Bushes deserve no allegiance when they rebel against God and bring shame to their high offices. Instead, according to Ephesians 5, verse 11, we're to reprove, that is, condemn, such evil powers. There it is, friends. The next time somebody says you've got to obey government, you tell them, wait. Government must obey God, and then we obey government. This is like the precious lady who came to me for counseling some years ago. It turned out that her husband had been beating her, abusing her. But then he would throw the Bible at her and say, you have to obey me in all things. I'm your husband. God has put me in charge of you. She said, is that true, Brother Tex? My answer was direct. Your husband is a disgrace. He's worse than an infidel. Why? Because you see, the Bible says the husband's duty is to obey God. The husband's duty is to treat and consider the wife as Christ treats him. Christ, our God, loves us. Christ looks out for us. Christ takes care of us. Christ loves and cares for us. He does not beat us. Who does things like that? The devil. This woman's husband was operating on behalf of the devil and claiming he was doing it for God. There you have it, friends. Don't act like the devil and think you're of God. She had no obligation to stay in that relationship and be beaten cruelly and abused. None whatsoever. And by the way, I was fortunate to be able to talk to her husband. He came in all hostile. And I told him, just as you have been abused, you may expect God to abuse you. And in due time, you will be beaten by God. I don't know how he'll do it. Emotionally, physically, whatever. He will allow you to be beaten. You will be treated, because Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You are commissioned by God to be a loving and good husband. You have failed your commission. You're a slothful and evil servant. And you will be rewarded just as you have done. And he went out of my office. I think his eyes were big, and I think he was actually fearful. And I don't know what happened after that, but I told the lady she needs to report him to authorities, and I'd be glad to talk to her in the future about it. Well, we move on to something a little bit more pleasant. This is from Shaka and Sue Lee. They're from the United Kingdom. They sent me an email about the subject of the planet Saturn. And they actually sent this out to many of their friends. They wanted them to hear about it. They said here, after reading Tex Mars' most recent newsletter, he mentions news which does not commonly reach the main media. One of the news was about how scientists were baffled about the hexagonal shape they had found on Saturn. Thank you, Mr. Mars, for this news item. Well, I checked it out and did find exactly what Mr. Mars said was true on the internet. You see, the Lord God's creation of the cosmos absolutely fascinates me, writes Shaka and Suli. And then the pair says, after searching the internet, I'm just mind-boggled about the recent satellite images, but I'm disturbed. Here is a hexagon on the planet Saturn with a, quote, precise geometric fashion with six nearly equal straight sides. This is a quote from NASA and its team, which was found on the North Pole of the planet Saturn. So they found a hexagon on the north pole of the planet Saturn. But she says, but then on the south side of the planet Saturn, there is a massive hurricane that is seen by satellite telescope with a deathly looking black eye. Interesting. She notes, by the way, that Saturn is the sixth planet from the sun. Saturn is also known as the Egyptian god Set, and many believe the all-seeing eye over the pyramid on a dollar bill is the Egyptian god of the underworld Set. And Saturn is also commonly known as Satan. Saturn, Satan. Quite interesting. Isn't it also fascinating, friends? This is Tex Morris talking now. This six-sided hexagon on the planet Saturn, which is the sixth planet from the sun. You know, the Bible, the book of Revelation, talks about in the last days signs in the heavens, wonders in the heavens. Ah, yes. There we have it. Bible prophecy possibly being fulfilled in a very great way. Hey, Luke. Luke out of Princeton, West Virginia, writes me, Dear Tex and Wanda, I've been listening to you on shortwave for years now. I appreciate the work you do for Jesus, our Christ and Messiah. This will be the gravest letter I've ever written. I have already sent out five of them, and this is the sixth. Then he goes on to say he had a dream, April the 18th, and he definitely believes this dream foretell the end of America. Well, you know, friends, the Bible says we don't know the day nor the hour, but we can divine the season. And many people now seem to have dreams. Here again, we get to the book of Joel and other places in the Bible where it talks about, you know, the young men having visions and the old men having dreams. Isn't that fascinating? A lot of people say, oh, I don't believe in dreams. Maybe he ate too much pizza the day before. Yeah, I'd be a little careful there. The important thing is, does a dream line up with the Word of God? If it opposes God's Word, reject it. If it doesn't have anything to do with God's Word, well, just fine. I fully agree. We dream about many things, and many of them are figments of our own imaginations. No one really understands the subconscious. People like Freud and Jung tried to, but Freud was so full of cocaine, I don't think he could see straight. And Jung was such a satanic demon. You know, he had a spirit guide, Philemon, that he spoke with all the time, some demon from, you know, the other realm. So you can't trust the world psychiatrist. So it is true, dreams of human origins, but not all. The Bible says there are dreams that are of God, and there are many, many examples of this. You remember how Paul lost his eyesight on the road to Damascus, but over there in Jerusalem, somebody was having a dream about it. They were told, take Paul into your fellowship. I have work for him to do. Peter was dead set against bringing Gentiles into the faith, but then he had a dream, symbolic dream, and he understood he had been wrong. Maybe God can even correct us in dreams. So don't dismiss the things of God so very quickly, my friends. Okay, now let's get to the next letter here. Hi, Tex. I like people just say hi. This is from Joan in Bosque, New Mexico. Oh, what a lovely state that is. Hi, Tex. Your teachings never cease to fascinate and amaze me, and I thank you so much. In one of your recent tapes, I believe the ones about crypto Jews, you talked about the little black boxes that the Jews strap onto their heads and arms with leather straps. You referred to these articles as prophylactics. Oh, boy, I'm embarrassed. But the proper word you should have used is phylacteries. The word prophylactic that you use, well, you know, has to do with prevention of conception. I just thought you might like to know, Tex, so that you could use the proper word next time. Boy, Joan, I sure did use the wrong word there. Oh, my, you know, I'm going to blame it on my age. That's right. I'm over 60 now. I have license to make mistakes now, don't I? Sure, you'll forgive me, won't you? Joan did. She still says she's fascinated and amazed, loves our radio program. So every once in a while, you'll have to forgive me. Boy, this was a big mistake, though. I'm really going to have to watch her. I could get in big trouble. Here's from Anna and Sal, email. On the subject of anti-Semitism. Dear Brother Mars, you asked the question. First of all, you gave us material about Jews and Israel in the Bible. Then you asked the question, friends, do you think I'm an anti-Semite? Well, I say this. No, you are not. When you realize who the Jews really are, hardly descended from the tribes of Israel, but a Turkic Mongolian people who were converted to Judaism and Talmudism in the year 700 to 800, on order of their king, Bulan of Khazaria, and that they are actually Ashkenazi Zionists, I ask you, Tex, who are the real anti-Semites? Not you. Not me. Love in Christ, signed Anna in Connecticut. Thank you, Anna, very much for that. I totally agree. Hey, here's a guy here, thought he caught me on an error, and you know, I love to admit my errors. I'm pretty quick about it. It's better just to admit them and get them out of the way, isn't it? You ever thought about that? Whatever it is, in relationship with your wife or your husband or the people who you work with, if you make a mistake, just say, I made a mistake. Everybody makes it. You know, it's not reckless. It's not negligent. It just happens sometime. Of course, you got to keep them to a minimum. This person writes to Taxi Mars, Harold Ernest, and actually, it's Ernest Harrell from Bulgaria, the country of Bulgaria, over in former Soviet Eastern Europe. Ernest, by the way, writes this. The subject, he says, he addresses it to Taxi Mars. Now, Ernest, how did you know that my mother always called me Taxi? That's my secret. I don't tell anybody that... She meant me to be Taxi. You know, that's why there's an E on the end of my name. The midwife. I was delivered by a midwife, and she misspelled it. T-E-X-E. It's supposed to be like Jim and Jimmy, Bob and Bobby. But fortunately for me, she left off the I or the Y, whichever one it should have been. I guess she didn't know how to spell Taxi. Now, that was my mother's idea. I had a brother who died, an uncle, Pete, who died in World War II. His ship sank in the Pacific, and he and the crew were all lost. He had been asked, you know, my mother was pregnant at the time, and she wanted to name the baby after Pete, who was in the Navy, a sailor, fighting the Japanese. And she wrote to him, my mother did, to her brother Pete, and said, what would you like me to name him? I'm thinking of naming him Pete after you. He said, oh, no, don't name him Pete. Don't name him Peter. No, everybody here, because I'm from Texas, calls me Tex. So name him Tex. Well, my mother had this idea about adding an E or a EY or IE on the end. Terrible idea, but she had it and she tried it. And after that, she calls me Tex. She still calls me Texy when I go home. I just let it go. You know, she's about 87. Okay, yeah, I'm Texy. That's right. But to everybody in the whole world, I'm Tex. Okay? So that's my little secret. But Ernest, how did you know? Or was it just an accident on your half? In any case, Ernest wrote me a nice letter. He thought I'd made a mistake on something, but I didn't. But it's very fascinating anyway, the end result. I'm running out of time here. We're going to come right back, and I'll tell you a little bit about what Ernest from Bulgaria had to say. And we're going to go right into a lot of secrets, okay? This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. We got a lot more. Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth of England came to America recently. She met with George Bush. And guess what? Somebody sent me an image, a picture, an official White House picture that shows George Bush standing with the Queen of England. And they're all dressed up and look pompous and nice. but he has his left hand in a satanic signal, the sign of El Diablo, the horned devil, pointing down very casually, almost hidden, straight to the ground. In other words, to hell. He's pretty good about sending out these hand signals, isn't he? And that's proven in my book, Codex Magica, where I discuss the sign of El Diablo and give probably dozens of examples of people giving it. Now, I know it's also the sign of rock and roll, sex, drugs, and rock and roll and all that, but there could be some real, real occultic things about it. You need to check it out. But there are many more. There are hundreds and hundreds of signs and symbols. There are secret handshakes of the Illuminati, of the elite, that are exposed in my newest book, Codex Magica. Over 1,000 pictures. 1,000 photographs and illustrations. And, of course, it's over 642 pages. Long book, big format. 624 to be exact. Thank you, Sandra. Here we have another lady correcting me. Oh, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. My wife and Sandra. And oh, that's okay. You got to love the ladies, guys. Come on. All right. In any case, it's 624 pages. It's about the size of a telephone book for at least a medium, maybe a big city. And the nice thing about it is, takes a long time to get through. You're going to enjoy every minute. And by the time you finish, you start all over again, because even the captions to this book tell you a lot of information and news and history, a lot of history. You'll love this book, Codex Magica. There's never been a book like it. Wow. Find out the secret rituals, the secret magic of the Illuminati through ordering Codex Magica. Now, because of the size, the production cost, and so forth, we are asking $35 for this book. Add $4 for shipping and handling, a total of $39. You can use a charge card. All you have to do is call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, here in the United States or Canada. If you're overseas, call us, area code 512-263-9780. And of course, we have powerofprophecy.com. We have conspiracyworld.com. Our two sister, would that be it? We can't say brother anymore. Okay, two sister websites. We have a lot of articles and things for you, news there too, for you to go. And you'll see our whole catalog. And there's a little search engine. You can even look for things. You can look for Pope or Catholic or Masonic Lodge. And it'll tell you all the resources we've got on those subjects and many more besides. You can look for UFOs. There's a lot of information on there, and I think you'll enjoy our websites. But you'll also be able to order Codex Magica and use your charge card, okay? Or you can mail us. Just mail us $39. That's postpaid. Say, Tex, send me Codex Magica. We'll get a book the very next day to you in the mail. And then it depends on the postal system as to how long it takes. Now, our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. That's the Republic of Texas. But don't write Republic of Texas. That's another little secret that you and I have, okay? We're really the Republic of Texas. Now, I love America, but Texas, Okay, maybe you love your state just as much. We'll debate that. Okay, that's Texas, USA, if you're overseas. Add USA on it, and it won't go to Belgium or some other Netherlands or some other wonderful place. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. We're having a volume of secrets today. In fact, Sandra, what volume is this? I think it's like 131. 131, exactly, she says. I'm right for once. The women cannot correct me. And let me move to what Brother Ernest over in Bulgaria said. He said, hi, Brother Texi Mars. I've received your May Power of Prophecy newsletter, and I'd like to let you know about a mistake. You have a picture of an illustration that is found on a Mexican peso. But it's not the Aztec, as you say. This thing is old and is the Mayan calendar ending 28 November 2011. He says some of the plans of the Illuminati extend unto 2012. Well, you're correct about a number of things there, Ernest. our Bulgarian friend, but you're wrong about that on the Mexican peso. We've researched this. It is not the Mayan calendar that's shown, that demonic figure and all of those strange things there. It is indeed the Aztec calendar, as we stated. Now, here's the fascinating thing, though, about the Mayan calendar I'd like to bring up, because Brother Ernest Harold brings it up, so let's just go into it. It is a fact that the Mayans, who were about as ruthless and bloody a pagan people as the Aztecs, that they have a calendar. And many in the New Age movement today believe that calendar is operative for the whole world. They believe that somehow this energy force that they believe in God is going to bring an end to the world. And they say the Mayan calendar, the Mayan people from down in Mexico and Central America, their calendar only went to, it's actually October 28, I think. It's 10/28/2011. October 28, 2011. Now, that supposedly is a corrected date. The popular version is that this Mayan calendar ends December 21, 2012. Well, you know, so scholars have got together and they said, no, the way we read this calendar, it's October 28, 2011. Well, I'm not going to debate one way or another. I don't really care about this calendar, because this calendar doesn't really reveal when the world will end. The Bible does. But let's just look at it, because so many people believe it. And many believe that the Illuminati themselves are going by the Mayan calendar. Could that be so? Well, let's look at some interesting things here. These are secrets, powerful secrets you should know about. Did you know, for example, that according to the to many researchers of the Illuminati have established, from 1776, there was a reason why that revolution occurred in America exactly that year. And there's a timeline for the United States of America. Now, if you look at the numerological system of the Masons and others, and it's even reflected, by the way, on our $1 bill, you'll find the number 13, for example, over and over and over, repeated. Now, another powerful occult number is 18. Because in the number 18, we have 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18. So it is, in fact, the number of the beast, 18. Add 1 and 8, you get 9. Turn 9, we reverse it upside down, you get 6. 9, of course, multiplied by itself, produces 81. Again, you have 9 brought down to its lowest common denominator. Now, it's believed that the Illuminati established this kind of a timeline for America. They established there would be 18 eras of 13 years each. Now, if you go to the pyramid on the dollar bill and you add up the levels or steps, and then you add 3 more steps for the capstone, let's just call it, where the eye of Horus, the sun god, is, starting from 1776, you'll find 18 eras or 18 levels. Now, if there are 13 years in each of those 18, you multiply 13 by 18. I don't mean to confuse you here. 18 eras, 13 years each. And you come to the, let's see, that would be 234 years. Okay? 13 times 18. That's right, 234. You add that to the base, which is the year 1776. So after the America's founded or begun in 1776, you have 18 eras of 13 years each, a total of 234 years. You add those 234 years to 1776, and you come to 2011. 2011, when the Illuminati will have produced their great kingdom on earth. America as a nation will have been ended, and 2011 will be the crowning of the New Age Messiah. The new Phoenix government will be inaugurated for the world. That will be the transcendence point. The end of the world. 2010 will be the final completion of the New Age, and 2011 will be the first year or inauguration. And fantastic as it may seem, That is what the scholars say is the end, the last year, the end of all things in the Mayan calendar. Now we get to another interesting parallel today. It seems that the leaders, the Illuminist leaders of Canada, the United States, and America, as well as the Bilderbergers and others in other nations, other regions of the world, are dead set on merging the three nations into a North American Union and dissolving the United States of America by what year? 2010. The very year in which the New World Order is to be capped, or the capstone is to be set in place. 2010, the end of America, and then 2011, the inauguration, the first great year of the Antichrist, 666, the Phoenix, the Lord of the Phoenix. Wow. Wow. By the way, I think I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, we had this incredible illegal immigration, these marches across America. They were all designed purposely for May 1. Now remember, May 1, 1776 was when the founder of the Illuminati founded the Illuminati. That is Adam Weishaupt, professor at the University of Ingolstadt, Freemason, Jesuit priest, founder of the Illuminati. May 1, 1776. May 1 is the date when the Soviet Union had all of its great May Day parades. The Red Terror Brigade. May 1. May 1 is the date all the labor unions across the world celebrate as their day of solidarity. Workers of the world unite, said Karl Marx. You have nothing to lose but your chains, was the lie. May 1. All the illegal immigrants are marching every May 1. That's the Illuminati Day. That's the Communist Day. And, you know, at sea, when a vessel is in trouble, they cry out, SOS, SOS, Mayday, Mayday, crisis, emergency. Hey, talking about illegal aliens, from the LA Times, here's some interesting statistics for you. A lot of people would lie to you and say, oh, the illegal immigrants are a boon to America. They're good for America. Oh, yeah? Here's some statistics from the Los Angeles Times newspaper. And by the way, that's a very liberal publication, very pro-illegal immigrants. So imagine this. Did you know that 40% of all workers in L.A. County, 10.2 million people, by the way, in L.A. County, 40% of them are working for cash in the underground economy, and they're not paying any taxes at all? They're predominantly illegal aliens working without a green card. 40%, that's over 4 million, don't pay any taxes at all. Did you know that 95% of all the warrants issued for murder in Los Angeles are for illegal aliens? Did you know that 75% of the people on the most wanted list in Los Angeles are, you got it, illegal aliens? Did you know that nearly 25% of all inmates in California detention centers and prisons are Mexican nationals in America illegally? Did you know that two-thirds of all births in Los Angeles County are to illegal alien Mexicans whose births are paid for by taxpayers? Did you know that they're half, according to the FBI, half of all gang members in L.A. are illegal aliens from south of the border? Wow. 21 radio stations in L.A. are Spanish-speaking. Now, I don't mind L.A. I mean, French, Cajun, English. Hey, you can have a Dutch or a German-speaking radio station. I don't care. But most of these are for illegal aliens' enjoyment. But they're in America. In L.A. County, 5.1 million people speak English, but 3.9 million speak Spanish. These are all statistics, official statistics from the Los Angeles Times. Boy. Mm. Less than 2% of illegal aliens in America are picking our crops. But 29% are on welfare. Wow. You know, friends, we are a nation of immigrants, perhaps. I'll admit that. I don't know where my relatives came from, but I look back and, you know, what little genealogical study I've done, not much, appears to be Scotland, maybe Ireland, maybe France. That's right, a little bit French. My mother says a little bit Indian stuck in there. We should open the welcome mat to all peoples, but wait, we cannot take them all at once. And we can't take millions and millions and millions. Stair Burns, a major Wall Street firm, says up to 30 million illegal aliens. So every time you see TV, they say there are 12 million undocumented immigrants. They don't like to use the real word, the real term, illegal aliens. They say 12 million. Bear Stearns, one of the top firms in Wall Street, did a study, said up to 30 million. Don't believe those lying government statistics. They downplay it. It's ruining America more and more. Hey, we've got the illegal alien problem here. They've got one over in Europe, too. And meanwhile, a new French president, president of France, has been elected, Mr. Sarkozy. He's a Hungarian Jew. How did a Hungarian Jew become president of France? The Jews have power, friends. After all, Hillary Rodham Clinton, her grandmother was Jewish. She's a Jew. Hillary Clinton is a Jew, and I've proved that. She even admitted her Jewish heritage to the New Yorker magazine, and before Jewish groups, she tells people, I'm Jewish. She says, my grandmother spoke Yiddish, the Jewish dialect. Yeah, we ate Jewish food, et cetera, et cetera. Looks like she's going to be president. I told you. You know, I did an audio tape years ago. It was entitled, Hillary Clinton Will Be President of the United States. That's not a prophecy. It's just a prediction by me. She's coming. Get ready. She's Jewish. The first Jewish woman president of America, Hillary Clinton. Then there's Mr. Sarkozy, a Hungarian Jew. They're going to take over all of the world's governments. Believe me, that are important. France is a mighty country. One of the keystones of Europe, of the European community. Meanwhile, the Catholic Church, many people believe that Pope John Paul II was in fact Jewish, and he was. Even a renowned rabbi admitted it recently. Did you know that Jean Lustiger, the cardinal of Paris, the top cardinal, is Jewish? He's a Catholic, but he's a Jew. Woo. Wow. I've done a lot of research to show that the Bush dynasty actually came from Jewish origins. Go all the way back to the Revolutionary War in America. Solomon Bush was an officer in the Revolutionary War. Kerry was found out to be Jewish. I put it in my newsletter. I published it. Then it came out from the Boston Globe. He had been claiming he was an Irish Catholic. But it turned out Kerry wasn't even his real name. He's Jewish. Crypto-Jews. Now France has a Jewish president. It looks like we're going to have one too. We were speaking a moment ago about the North American Union. Boy, there's a congressman. State Senator Randy Brogdon in Oklahoma is doing a great job exposing the North American Union. And he's introduced legislation to prevent Oklahoma from participating in this North American Union's Super Corridor Coalition. He's also presented a resolution, Senate concurrent resolution number 10, in the Oklahoma legislature, urging the United States to withdraw from Bush's and Vicente Fox's Security and Prosperity Partnership of America and any other activity that would create a North American Union and oppose any NAFTA superhighways. Hey, this resolution's already passed the Oklahoma Senate and now before the Oklahoma House. Well, thank you, Senator Randy Brogdon. He is a Power Prophecy's hero for today. Appreciate it so very much. Meanwhile, Tom DeWeese, president of the American Policy Center, is upset about the Trans-Texas Corridor. Now we have another set of heroes, though. DeWeese writes about them. You see, the Texas legislature, in a landslide, just passed a bill that was a big snub, a big slap in the face to Illuminist Governor Rick Perry. Now, Rick Perry is in the pockets of the big boys. He's a Republican governor. He's one of George Bush's little boys. And Governor Rick Perry came up with this Trans-Texas Corridor, part of the Trans-America Corridor. Listen to this. If completed, the Trans-Texas Corridor, running now from Mexico all the way through Texas up into the other states, it's owned, he wants Centro Corporation out of Spain with King Juan Carlos, who calls himself the Prince of Jerusalem, to be one of the chief stockholders. But this Trans-Texas Corridor that Governor Perry has not on the drawing board, it's already being built. According to the reports, it will completely transform the state's highways. Over the next 50 years, it will construct an 8,000-mile spider bungee of so-called multimodal toll roads. Get that, toll roads. You'll be paying everywhere you go. Paying to whom? Why, the multi-conglomerate, multinational corporation called Centra. And you better believe Bill Clinton, George Bush, Rick Perry, and all of them going to own stock in this multinational corporation. And there, these toll roads will be extracting billions of dollars. And listen to this. It will throw a pseudo-government net over some 9,000 square miles of private land just in Texas alone to build the 4,000 miles of routes. The projected cost, now listen to this, folks. The projected cost of just the Trans-Texas, not even counting Oklahoma, Missouri, you know, Minnesota, Nebraska, and all that on up. Just the Texas part of these toll road systems, the price tag will be $183 billion. That's more than the original price tag for the entire U.S. interstate system. Who's going to pay for it? You and me, through paying tolls. You know, years ago, we had no toll roads or highways in Texas, and I would go to the east to visit and go to places like Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, and I'd just laugh. You'd have to, you know, slow down or stop and give them 75 cents or 25 cents. Wasn't much, but I laughed. Ha, ha, ha. We don't have those in Texas. Ha, ha, ha. Well, we do now around Houston and other places. Now, in coming years, we're going to have it everywhere, in every town, every city. You can't go anywhere without paying money. Money, 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 money. And you know what? It won't be just 25 cents or 50 or 75 cents. They'll give you a little tag to put on your car, a computer tag, and the laser will read you as you go by. And guess what? They'll send you a bill. At first, it'll be, you know, minimal, like $21. And then, in a couple of years, it'll go up to $80. And then maybe $200 a month. Sort of like, you know, cable TV. Only $6 a month. Only $18 a month. Only $50 a month. And on and on. They're going to charge you for your water. For your wood. And I've said in my newsletter, and it's true, if these jackals could, they'd charge you for the very air you breathe. And don't count against it, folks. I mean, Governor Ann Richards, former governor of Texas, man, she was meeting secretly, came out with a bunch of environmental wackos, and they wanted to charge Texans for the rain that landed on their lands. You own a house, it's only a quarter of or half an acre, they would proportion it. You'd get a bill every year for $80 or $90 or $100. This is for the land or the rain that landed on your land this year. Folks, these people are communist devils. Whew! They can think of so many ways to rip you and me. And it all goes into their pockets and of the multinational Corporation. Hey, CNN's Lou Dobbs. Thank God, here's another hero. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you what Tom DeWeese said. You know what the hero is of this Trans-Texas Corridor situation? The Texas legislature. The people of Texas were furious over it. They contacted their legislators, and the legislature just voted to put in a moratorium, a 5-year moratorium, stopping this superhighway going through Texas. But Rick Perry says, you can't do that. We're going to call a special session of the Texas legislature if you don't change your mind soon. So the governor, and you better believe the big lobbyists are going to be there with their money bags trying to pay the legislators off. So now it's a toss. It's a toss up. It's a big tug of war between the citizens of Texas and the legislators and the money bags of the Illuminati. We're going to keep you in communicated with you. Or we'll communicate with you, keep you informed of who's winning that massive struggle. Folks, we can win. We can stop these jackals. You can do it. I'm telling you. Just educate yourself. Keep tuned to this station and this radio program every week and to many others. And know the truth. Now we get to CNN's Lou Dobbs. Every night he has a program. Every night he exposes the illegal immigrants and all that. Boy, they must hate this guy. He's the only guy on CNN doing it. And they interviewed him on 60 Minutes. They thought they could have embarrassed him. No way. Lou Dobbs came out smelling like a rose. And what did he tell them? They said, well, you don't really think that we can deport all these illegal aliens. Dobbs said, sure, why not? That's our laws. Basically, let's get together and do it. Well, Hillary Clinton said that Don Imus was a bad, bad boy on his radio program when he talked about nappy-headed hoes on the basketball team there in New Jersey. Now, I'm not for Don Imus, and he had a foul mouth. I realize that. But it's interesting that Senator Hillary Clinton turns out to be quite a hypocrite. You see, Hillary got $800,000 from a fundraiser that was held by a rap music star named Timbaland. He's got a song right now, I think, that's on the top 40. Now, this Timbaland, this rapper, is a very foul-mouthed multimillionaire. He invited about 200 guests, mostly into hip-hop music, and they paid upwards of $1,000 each to come hear Hillary give a little talk at Timbaland's Pinecrest, Florida home. She raised $800,000 from the event. Now, here are some lyrics from Timbaland's song, Come and Get Me. Now, again, this is not Tex Morris. This is this rapper. Here are the lyrics. Nigga, your time is up. I ain't come to kid you. I knew you niggas was dumb, but how dumb is you? That's the music, the records of this stupid guy, Timbaland. But he raised $800,000 from Hillary. Well, some enterprising people contacted Hillary Clinton's organization and asked if she was going to return the money. After all, she did criticize Imus, wanted him to be penalized, and they very snottily and snidely said, no, we're not going to return the money. Such are the hypocrites in American society. Well, folks, this has been a volume of secrets here on Power of Prophecy. So glad you tuned in. And my prayer is that you'll tune in each week. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.